We'll call a meeting of Environment and Natural Resources Policy to Order on April the 10th, and a quorum is present. Representative Johnson's reviewed the minutes of April the 3rd and moved the minutes. In favor of the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. We are now bringing before us Representative Fisher's bill, which was previously amended, House File 683, and the motion, Representative Fisher's motion, is recommended to pass as amended and referred to the Rules Committee. Representative Fisher, to your bill. First thing we're going to do is do the DE2 amendment.
Thank you. I'd like to thank you, Chair. I'd like to move the DE amendment to get the bill into the shape I'd like it in.
In favor of the DE2, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. To the bill as amended, Representative Fisher.
Thank you. A couple of things I'd like to, the bill's changed quite a bit. The first thing I'd like to point out is that going to some of the questions that were raised last time around, the conservation water pricing has been dropped out of here. Part of that has been as I've had the opportunity to meet with the governor and the DNR, and as of right now, there are no water management areas that are established in the state, and it doesn't look like it's going to happen in the next week or two. So as a result, that is something that, hearing concerns out there is how that might be applied across the state, I felt it was important that we drop that out to keep things moving forward. The other thing that we're looking at doing is adding some language in that instructs the DNR to start taking a look from their side is what we might need to be doing in the future in terms of water management areas. I've got a feeling that probably within the, you know, before this year is over, we're going to see some areas in the state being designated as such. And it appears that in some areas that the standards may be established, in some areas they may not. Water conservation pricing discussion would come back in. We're going to need to be able to discuss that, how that looks. One of the things I learned from the conservation pricing is the question had come up to me and I couldn't answer is, if you have water conservation pricing and you've got a business that's using water and they're able to turn around and reuse it with another industry, or say put it back into the wetlands that are going dry next door, would they be able to get a credit on those kind of pricings? No, people haven't had a chance to discuss or even think of those type of things. So I guess what I'm getting at, this gets to be a very complicated, complex process, and we want to make sure that we do it right when we're moving forward. And that's what led to the next part of the legislation here, is you'll see legislation referring to the Legislative Water Commission. A number of years ago, when the city or the state here had a number of issues around water, they put together a joint legislative commission where they were able to spend the time to look at it. And the way it's been likened to me is that for the pension group, which is very, very complex, they've got a legislative pension commission where they can dive into the issues in the off session, be able to spend the time to figure out what all the aspects are, and then be able to turn around and make recommendations and have legislation ready to go by the time the session starts. Right now in this state, our water issues are that complex, and we have just a short time in session. We don't have enough time to be really able to take a look at it. And right now, we do have parts of the state where this is a crisis. We want to make sure that we're addressing it in the right way, but also making sure that as we're putting these practices in, we're also protecting what we've got up north and not having unintended consequences that would impact areas where they've got surplus waters and may want to be able to do some creative things. So we need to take an opportunity to be able to dive in deeper, and this would give us the opportunity for that. It would be set up in such a way that there would be five people appointed by the Senate, five people appointed by the House with representation from both parties. And this comes up to another issue that I have found that I've been working on this over the past couple of months, is there's a lot of interest from people on both sides of the aisle, and several people have said this is something that's going to be going on for several sessions at least, trying to get our hands around the issue. And I'm seeing that in the off time. While there are people who want to come together and do it, it's going to take a lot of work, and I'm seeing that just right now in the little bit of time I've been spending on it, we just don't have the resources at our fingertips to be able to pull some of this information together. To be very honest, you know, where we rely a lot on is sometimes the DNR and those agencies, and to be very honest, I'm not very comfortable sometimes with the information I'm receiving from the DNR, and I think it's important that we have the opportunity to be able to bring the people from our side in and to be able to have a little bit more control along those lines. And that's why it's kind of gone into a little bit more of a expansion here, is asking to have this Legislative Water Commission restored so that we can get to these issues. So I will stop at that point and entertain any questions that people might have.
Questions by the members? People testify for or against the bill as amended.
Good
Mr. Chairman, members, Bob Meyer, Department of Natural Resources, and thank you for providing this opportunity to have this bill come back up again. We do support the provisions in this bill, and we feel that Section 5 will give us the opportunity to come back to you next session with more complete information to continue this discussion and to keep moving this issue forward.
Questions of Mr. Meyer? Representative Fabian? No?
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Johnson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Craig Johnson with the League of Minnesota Cities. Very much appreciate the work the author has done on this bill over the whole session to look at city concerns. Removal of the water conservation rate language that had been part of the bill was our biggest concern with the language. I would add that we also are supportive of the creation of the Legislative Water Commission. We think the complexity of some of the issues facing city drinking water, wastewater, and stormwater systems really isn't always best served by getting 20 minutes on a bill in a legislative hearing and maybe only in one body and not the other. And it really makes a lot more sense to have a group of legislators bicamerally, bipartisanly look at these issues a little more deeply and be ready to help inform their colleagues the next legislative session.
Questions for Mr. Johnson? Thank you. Ms. Gauthier, anything? Mr. Klavan? All in favor of the bill as amended, say aye.
I had some questions.
Oh, I didn't see your hand, Representative Hackbarth.
Well, I didn't have a chance to raise my hand yet before you called for the vote, Mr. Chairman. I do have some comments, if you don't mind.
Representative Hackbarth.
Thank you. I would recommend a no vote on the bill. Members, we spend hundreds of millions of dollars, and it's our job to oversee that. We have the LCCMR, we've got the Legacy Committee, we've got a number of these committees, and yet, still, the legislature has the say on the final product. And we've had many discussions on LCCMR and Legacy in the past. We have the oversight on those issues. It is our responsibility. This is more bureaucracy that we don't need to deal with. We spend hundreds of millions of dollars with the agencies. These agencies, we appropriate that money out to them, and they're supposed to be overseeing this. Members, it's Bowser, DNR, MPCA, Department of Health, Environmental Quality Board, all the CWDs, SWCDs, the watersheds, the lakeshore associations, all spending hundreds of millions of dollars on water in the state of Minnesota. And here, now, Representative Fisher wants to spend more money, and I don't know how much this is all going to cost to create this water commission. But no, I don't think we need another layer of bureaucracy to tell us the same thing over and over again. That's why we're giving this money to these different branches of agencies, to tell us what's going on. We're already spending the money for that. We don't need a water commission in the state of Minnesota to tell us the same thing over again. It's just a building of more bureaucracy in the state of Minnesota. We don't need the bill. I recommend a no vote.
Representative Bates.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to the author of the bill, do you have a fiscal note with this, Representative Fisher?
I don't have the fiscal note for this. This would appear because from here it would go to rules and then it would go to the Finance Committee, and that's where the fiscal note would be most appropriate. And it would be with it at that point in time.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Fisher, on line 1.26, it says the Commission shall oversee the activities of the Pollution Control Agency. Can you give me some clarity on what your definition of oversee is in that line?
I'm sorry, which line again?
1.26.
Representative Fisher.
I would have to go on. I don't have the exact understanding of that part of it. I've been talking to people who've been involved with this in the past, and basically what it was doing is just, from what little that I know of that was involved with it, was acting as a vehicle to have information come back, and particularly when you're dealing with water contamination issues and those kind of areas, is they wanted to make sure they have a connection in through there. And that's part of the reason the PCI was understanding was involved in it the first time around, because when we're talking about water sustainability, it's not just about how it's flowing and where it's going, but also what potential contaminations that might be occurring, because that gets into forming water policy.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess then my next question along those same line is that if the commission is going to oversee the activities of the Pollution Control Agency, and we have so many other agencies here involved that are named, the Environmental Quality Board, DNR, and so forth and so on, but we're not overseeing their activities. Why is that?
Mr. Fisher. You know, you bring up a very good point, and I think this is one of those things that we can take, that I can take a look at and work on as we move forward on this issue. As I mentioned, this is something where I've been talking to a lot of people in a very short time frame, and that question is one that I'm going to need to work on to get a few more answers to it.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm curious to know, Representative Fisher, you know, what are the outcomes that you're expecting from this? And then another question would be, what kind of an effect is this going to have on a typical homeowner?
Mr. Representative Fisher.
I think, first of all, that the outcome that we're looking at is trying to have better all-encompassing policy as we go forward. I think one of the things that, as we've heard all these other groups that are mentioned, more often they're dealing with the working on some of the hard solutions out front, but there's a lot of areas where we need to be re-examining what our policy and examining what our policy is going to be going forward. And this is what we're trying to do, is come up with a way of having better policy, making sure that we're not missing the areas. There are so many questions that came up when we were just trying to address with water conservation issues. How this would impact your regular homeowner would be, I think, establishing a policy that would be very good in terms of making sure that we have water sustainability in a fair way, because I've noticed in our current system, we don't have a fair water system in terms of permitting. Our current system allows some people to be able to have water for no charge, and other people are paying for water. And I think we need to be able to bring some of those things and examine why we're doing it, why we aren't, and having a good chance to have some great, robust discussions on policy that right now we just aren't afforded the opportunity for.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And then on line 1.16 and 1.17, it says there that the commission may appoint and fix the compensation of personnel and consultants. Again, I know that goes kind of to a fiscal note, and I realize this is the policy committee, but I think that, you know, for me, I'd like to have some questions answered with regards, I mean, how many FTEs are you proposing? How much of Representative Hackbarth referred to expanding the state bureaucracy? What's the plan?
Thank you. Thank you, Chair, Representative Fabian. I've had brief discussions already with the people who take care of overseeing the legislative commissions. The way it was originally set up, it was basically, and what was being looked at initially here would be probably one full-time person and some support staff. But Representative Fabian, those are things that I'm still trying to answer and pull together as we move this forward. So, and I appreciate you raising these so I can make sure that we have your answers for the next step.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Fisher, we talked a little bit about this. You know, with a lot of commissions and things, it's often nice to have a sunset clause in here where these things don't keep going on and on and on and add to the bureaucracy and add to the cost and everything else. Have you considered, for instance, how long this commission would take to finish their work? Or is that kind of a tough question at this point in time?
Representative Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative. It's a tough question at this time, and where part of it has been is I've been going back to the looking at what the Minnesota Water Sustainability Framework is here. And as I've been reading through this book and taking a look at some of the issues that they've raised in here, some of the time frames that they're looking at is there are things that they're looking at would be addressed in terms of policy in the like 1 to 3 year time frame, and then from there a 5 to 10 year time frame is being talked about. So what it is you have to have your base laid, and then you build off of your base. And right now, as we've been finding out, it's not working at all very well. We've got crises catching us at the last minute, and we need to be more proactive in it. So I can't say exactly what a sunset date would be on something like this, because I hate to say that we'll put this date on, and now we're coming back and finding out we're only partway through. And I know we could have it extended, but I also can tell you that in the past, when they felt they had their work done, they did disband the commission at that point in time, which is why we're bringing it back, because there seems to be a need for it.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, and maybe that could be one of those situations where we do put a sunset on this, and then if the work's not done, could be reauthorized again, because I do share part of the feelings here in terms of cost and bureaucracy, but it's a very, very important issue right now. It's a big issue, and I think the further we get into this, the bigger it's going to get. And really, I think we need to really, this legislative commission is going to have a mission statement, going to have to maybe limit its scope a little bit. Otherwise, it's going to go forever. And I think we all know, particularly in the metro area, some of the problems that we have here. But I think we could maybe do a little better job by limiting the scope, limiting the time, and limiting the cost of this commission, and get it off the ground and get it going, and then work from there. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're welcome. Representative Hackbar.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, we've got people that are working in this agency. All we have to do is call them down here to the desk and ask them the questions we need to ask to get our points across. But, Mr. Chairman, I would like to ask the author of the bill to explain the language in Section 4, 4B, the underlying language, and what that exactly means, if you could give us an explanation of that. 3.9 through 3.12.
Representative Fisher.
You're talking page 3, 3.9 through 3.12?
1-2, yeah.
Yes. What this does is currently right now, when the DNR does permitting, they're not allowed to do any permitting of small users. That would be private wells, people who use less than 1 million gallons a year or 10,000 gallons a year. And that's the day, 10,000 gallons a day. And that's the way the statute is outlined. And where I found this gets to be a very unfair situation is you get a small business who might be out there who might be just below the million gallons a day. They're not paying anything for water. Then you got a small business who might be just down the road who's just a little bit over that million gallons a day, and now they're paying the rates that have been established by the DNR. To me, that's not a fair level playing field. At this point in time, I'm not saying we should apply this across the entire state. What I'm saying what we should be doing is in areas where we've got water management and we've got issues going on, we should start applying those to solve the problems in that area where it's an issue of fairness. And I think that's very important that we address it from that point of view.
Well, Mr. Chairman and members, if you read this, this gets down to if I'm building a house and I want to put in a well, I may be required to purchase a permit from the DNR. I mean, that's just another way of getting some money, building the bureaucracy once again. It's not about necessarily about the water that we use or fairness. It's about getting money, bringing money into the DNR or for paying for somebody's wages somewhere. This is ridiculous. I mean, it's just
Mr.
absolutely
Hirsch.
Ridiculous, this whole thing.
Mr. Hirsch, welcome to the committee. Can you clarify on 3.9 through 3.12 whether you're in this envelope or not, as described in this portion, a person must still get some kind of a document from both the Department of Health and the DNR for a private well. Is that right? Do I remember that right?
Mr.
Whether
Chairman,
you're in this groundwater management area or not. We're not in Representative Fabian's district in his... At his hunting shack, if he drills a well, he has to get, as I remember, a Department of Health approval and isn't something from the DNR as well, at least register the well or something?
Mr. Chairman, Member Steve Hirsch, DNR Ecological and Water Resources Director. Right now, if a person is going to drill a well for their house, I think there's the well driller, I believe, will usually notify the Department of Health, and that's all that's required. They send that notification in, and if they don't hear anything back, there's no further action necessary. There's no requirement currently to notify the DNR, and so it's gotten to be an issue not for domestic, single home dwellings, but once in a while if a larger operator drills a well that eventually will need a permit, and they haven't talked to us first, they may run into a situation where they're going to be subject to restrictions they weren't anticipating, or something like that.
I'm just going to give you something out loud, Representative Fisher. Maybe in this area here, under these designated groundwater management areas, the commissioner of the Department of Natural Resources shall be notified of the existence of the well. Something to think about. Rather than, because what I just heard from Mr. Hirsch is that there's no requirement to notify them. This says it may have to purchase a permit and I don't know that they need to purchase a permit. They at least for a well that's under 10,000 gallons, or a residential well, maybe that's something to also look at. I know you've got kind of a laundry list here that's coming up, and that's actually, I feel pretty comfortable that you got a laundry list.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, committee, what we're taking a look at here is also a side of fairness on terms of permitting. Is right now they may have the option to permit, but the other part that comes in is there's many parts, particularly around the White Bear Lake area, where there are many people who've got their wells, city water is available out there, or other people are drilling wells so they can fill up their swimming pool. At the same time, we're seeing the lake level in that White Bear Lake drop like a rock. And right now, the DNR and nobody has any opportunity to come in to address the situation from a private well user and a small well user. And I think it's important that when you've got people in the entire community coming together and saying, we want to solve the problem here, and they see their neighbors being able to drill wells, keep their lawns green, fill up Olympic-sized swimming pools, it causes a lot of tension and a lot of hard feelings, not only in the community, but also it leaves a situation of fairness out there. And I think it comes down to when you've got people who are in the city water systems who are paying their, you know, paying for the water as they come through, and you've got people who are part of the problem who are not paying anything for water, they feel, why should I change the way I use water? I don't care what happens to the lake. And this is one way to get them to start thinking about it. So I don't see it as much as being something that is being done to try to raise revenue. I see it as a fairness issue for the homeowners and the other businesses that are out there.
Well, this bill will be leaving here and going to rules. Then I suspect it will go to Representative Lagunias's committee, and then it will go back to rules, and then it will go back to government operations, because there's plenty of government operations in here. Representative Fabian, you had additional questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, just to the point of the fairness issue, when you talk about people being on a city water system versus having a well, wells don't just happen at no expense. A well can really be quite expensive to drill and also to maintain. So to suggest that somehow they don't have any, I'll say, skin in the game, I'll use my word, not yours, in terms of a fairness issue with regards to what they're paying for their water, I guess I would take some exception to that. I don't have a well, but anyway. Also then, Representative Fisher, I'd like to go back to a comment that you made after one of the other questions with regards to 3.9 and 3.12. I believe you said that it's not your intention to do this permitting stuff necessarily, but with the language that's there at the end of 3.9, when you say that the commissioner may require permits, now you're opening the door and you've got an extremely broad brush that allows for all kinds of interpretations within the agency to be able to create almost whatever they want. And that gives me a lot of heartburn. That's more of a statement than it is anything else. I do think that it's important that we hear from MPCA. If we have questions of them.
Well, do you have a question of them, Representative Fabian?
No, but I thought...
Okay, well, we'll get to that.
Okay.
So, Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Fisher. This question actually might be for MPCA, but it might be for the staff. In line 1.26B, it says, commissioners will oversee activities of the Pollution Control Agency under sections 116.16 and 116.181. Can you tell us what that is?
Ms. Taylor.
Mr. Chair, members, I looked it up last night, and I've already forgotten it. If you give me a minute, I can go check the statutes.
I'm sorry, I didn't. If you're asking me something, I didn't understand what you asked me. I was reading something.
Oh, if he would just give me a minute, I can go get the statute book and look.
Okay, so while we're checking that out, we're going to go to Representative Ward.
I'll pass, thank you.
Okay, so while we're waiting on that, anyone else questions? Then we'll get back. Representative Euclid.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Fisher, looking at this bill, I'm in agreement with everything down to 2.8 there in terms of the commission and everything else. And I think once the commission takes a look at some of these things, the permitting and groundwater management areas and other things like that during the summer, if this commission is meeting, we could get some more clarity on that and maybe give it the time that it deserves. And I know you're under the gun personally, particularly in your area in Maplewood, and it is a travesty what's happening to White Bear Lake. And I think everybody realizes that it's really a serious problem. But I'm not so sure that in this case haste might make a little waste here in terms of some of these other provisions that are in here. If we could examine it a little closer and then come back to this committee in the future with a little work this summer with this commission, we might be better well served.
Well, Representative Uglem, we're going to keep meeting on this until this is right.
Okay.
If that means laying it over again tonight or today, we're just going to keep meeting on this because we are not going to fix this problem unless we keep meeting until we get the bill. Now, we've had the DNR talk to us. We have Mr. Johnson talk to us. We've had Mr. Clavin nod that he doesn't want to talk to us. The Ag Department doesn't want to talk to us about any of these provisions in the bill. And there's obviously some things that need to be talked about yet. And, you know, I routinely hear where we're going to fix this thing along the way. And I've bought into that a lot of times, and I've asked that a lot of times. But this is, like, hugely important, like you said, a travesty about some of these water issues.
Yep.
So if we have to lay it over again and Representative Fisher goes and works on a few more things and laser fires on this, we're going to meet next Tuesday night at 4 o'clock and we'll take it up again. So with that said,
Mr. Chair, I'm good with that.
Okay. Representative Green, Ms. Taylor.
Mr. Chair, members, the site that's included on lines 1.27 is the PCA's water pollution control program. It allows them to provide grants and loans for, you know, water pollution type projects. I could read the statute if.
No. Mr. Chair.
Mr. Green.
That's fine. I guess I'm going to have to reread it and understand in my own little mind here what that means as far as the statement goes. But just another, I guess, question / statement, and then I'll probably be done here.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I have to agree with Representative Hackbarth. You know, we're looking at another commission to study another problem, and I wonder if, you know, we have a problem here, and we see it all the time, and instead of if the solution's not in front of us, we're convinced ourselves that another commission is going to help us. We've got people studying water from high school students in the River Watch up to DNR MPCA. I really have my doubts that one more commission is going to change that. Thank you.
Representative Isaacson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I, first of all, appreciate the work that Representative Fisher's put into this, and I can tell you that in many ways in my district we see his district as being kind of the canary as our waterways are connected. And I would, as strongly as I possibly can, urge you to move this onto rules and then back to the environment, if that's what they decide, Finance Committee. I don't want to dally on this any longer. Thank you.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I want to echo the sentiment that's been expressed here. I know Representative Fisher has worked amazingly hard on this, and I've had a number of conversations, and I appreciate him including me in some of his discussions. But that being said, and also the situation in White Bear Lake it's been described as a travesty and so forth, and I completely agree with that. But Representative Fisher, what I'm concerned with is that in an attempt to really deal with this very, very, very serious problem, we are now going to create something around the rest of the state that we really don't need. And we have already state agencies that are working on this. We've asked them. Representative Wagenius has been a champion trying to get some of these things solved and so forth, and I appreciate that. But I don't now all of a sudden want to put some sort of a burden on the people of Northwest Minnesota or Southeast Minnesota. But we really don't need to create this, and all of a sudden we're going to open the door for Commissioner May, Commissioner Schell, permits required, those types of things. I'm going to vote no. I'm willing to keep working with you on this, but that's where I'm at. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yep, Representative Benson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just wanted to thank the chair for saying that he is interested in pursuing this. You know, whether it has gotten to the point where we can move on it, that's for the committee to decide. But I did want to make one comment, and that has to do with the membership. We're talking here about five members from the Senate, five members from the House. And it is true that we have all kinds of agencies who are knowledgeable about all these water issues. The group that is not so well versed are the legislators who are to write the law. That's the problem here. And that's what's significant about the proposal in this bill, and that is to educate the people who actually pass the law. We're all busy. I'm on six committees, and so I'm running hither and yon, here and there, and I think, you know, after 6 years, I've learned to pay close attention to certain of my colleagues who propose good legislation. And I have to admit, Mr. Chair and members, that sometimes I vote for legislation that I'm not totally familiar with, because I have seen a track record from some of my colleagues, and they are conscientious and they do very good work. And so even though I don't ask questions on every little diddle and dot, I have confidence that legislation probably should move forward. But again, I just want to state, anyone sitting here in this room should be honest and admit that many times legislation passes that they're not totally familiar with. This is an area of expertise that I'm not so knowledgeable about, but that I understand that this is a basic issue that this legislature, this state, and this country have not taken care of. Because we have been cowboys, assuming that the environment can be used and abused as much as we like, and the devil take the hindmost as far as the future generations are concerned. So this bill to me is important, and Mr. Chair, I'm glad that you're prepared to continue with it, because you understand why you know, the basis of this legislation is so key. So the people who need to be educated are the ones who are preparing to pass laws on this. And that's why a commission made up of members of the two houses is important. Now, whether or not we can borrow staff maybe from the agencies or find ways to save money so we don't have a commission that simply blows a bunch of money, I certainly am sympathetic to that. But I'm not well enough first to make such fundamental decisions. I don't think very many people here are. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Benson. Further questions? Questions over here. Anyone else like to testify for or against the bill? Senator Price.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members. I'm speaking here, Len Price, as a private citizen and a former member of both the House and the Senate. And in 1989, when I was in the House, I was one of the co-authors of the 1989 groundwater legislation. And the night of the conference committee, Representative Munger turned to me and said, Price, as only Munger could say, Price, you're going to be the spokesman for the House in this conference committee. And that kind of threw me for a loop, because I had spent the last 8 days conferring on the House Education Committee, and I was quite frankly pretty tired. But over the course of the deliberations, this piece about a water commission was in that groundwater bill. And I served on the commission. I don't think I served on it until I was in the Senate. But here's what it did. I think Representative Benson struck a note here. What it did is it gave us an opportunity during interim, us legislators, the chance to study these issues, to draw the agencies together. Sometimes they were kind of reluctant participants, but they got used to it. And we were able to educate ourselves about the issues, about what was in statute, what were the federal connections, what were the powers and authorities that we had as a legislature. And I honestly think it saved us a ton of time in the legislative process because we were able to work these things out prior to somebody introducing a bill. This commission didn't have the power to say yep or nope to any legislation, but it was a way to gather the data that was needed to make good law. And I thought that was really an important thing to the process. And I thought that this commission would continue. But you know what happened? It got caught up in the 90s with a kind of a movement to get rid of commissions, to just say, we're going to dump a whole bunch of them. And it went from LCMR all the way down to the, I think, I don't want to rank these in order, but even the Commission on the Economic Status of Women. There were a whole bunch of them that were brought in, and the LCC sat there and played judge and decided which ones would go by the wayside. I think if you ask people off the record that are in agencies, and I know a lot of past legislators, they would say, I think it was $100,000 or something that we spent to do this commission, that it was money well spent. I mean, you get to make the decision, but I'm just here to say that I thought, as a legislator, and so do many other people, that this was a good investment in trying to figure out the best things that we should do in public policy. So now, don't hold this against me in terms of other things that I do, but but I just I felt compelled to make comment, and I was at a town meeting that Representative Fisher had, and I just said, you know, it's interesting that you're stuck with this water issue, and I worked on water issues when I was in the legislature, and I was telling them about the commission, and lo and behold, it emerges. So, I mean, it's a way to streamline the work that staff and legislators need to do. So I'm here to say, I don't know all the details. This is many years ago, I can't remember the verbiage and so on, but I encourage you to really work on this and see if you can come up with a solution.
Questions for Mr. Price? Any questions from the committee? Anyone else want to testify for or against the bill as amended? Okay, we're going to recess for 15 minutes. Okay, we'll come back to order. Representative Fisher, you have oral amendments?
Yes, Chair. Thank you. First of all, on an oral amendment on lines 1.26 and 1.27, I would like to have those deleted out of the section. That's one that reads, B, the commission shall oversee the activities of the Pollution Control Agency under sections 116.16 to 116.181 relating to water pollution control. And the other thing I'd like to have done, and I
Let's take one at a time.
Okay,
here,
sure.
And Ms. Taylor, you have that amendment? Okay, everyone clear on the amendments, deleting those two lines. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion prevails. Representative Fisher?
And the next thing I'd like to do, and I'll need help crafting this, is that have a sunset clause that added on the commission portion of it for 5 years from date of enactment.
Ms. Taylor, can you read where you're going to insert that in the language that you'll be inserting into the bill for the sunset?
Sure, it'd be after line 2.8, insert subdivision 5, period, expiration, period. This section expires July 1st, 2008, period.
Questions on the amendment? Being none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion prevails. Questions for the bill as amended from the membership? President Packard.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, but I'm not impressed. The two lines on page one, I didn't need it in the bill in the first place, and it was just dumb to have it in there. And a sunset clause, I think everybody here that's been here a number of years knows how easy it is to just put a repealer in a sunset clause in another bill at some other time, and it's gone. And then all of a sudden, the commission continues on. So I'm not impressed. It's still a building of bureaucracy that we don't need. We have a number of agencies, a number of people employed in these agencies that are getting paid big money to handle these issues for us. It's our job as a legislature and in these committees, the Environment and Natural Resources Policy Committee and Finance Committee, to call those people forward to get our answers and to form our own subcommittees to look at different issues that we need to do. We don't need a commission to do it. It's absolutely foolish to do something like this. I'm still voting no.
Well, thank you, Representative Barth, and I think that we will note your disagreement with the bill. Thank you. Further input or questions on the bill as amended by Representative Fisher? From the audience, since the bill has been amended again, anyone like to testify for or against the bill?
Okay, Representative Fisher renews his motion. Representative Hackbar.
I'd like a roll call vote.
Roll call has been requested. Representative Fisher amends his motion to for House File 683 as amended to be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Rules. The chair votes aye.
Representative Fisher?
Aye.
Representative Benson? Representative Cornyn?
No.
Representative Fabian?
No.
Representative Green?
No.
Representative Hackbarth?
No.
Representative Hansen? Representative Johnson? Representative Isaacson?
Aye.
Representative McNamara?
No.
Representative Purcell?
Aye.
Representative Uglum?
No.
Representative Wagenius?
Aye.
Representative Ward?
Aye.
Representative Urusso?
Aye.
Six to eight. Six, no.
Okay, the motion does prevail. 8 yes, 6 no. Meeting is adjourned.